Morning, church. So glad all of you are here today. What a blessing it is to be before the Lord and to celebrate with one another. If you do not have one of these little guys, please raise your hand. I have copied and pasted all of my notes today because I've got a lot to cover and I don't want you to have to worry about taking notes. So this is exactly what I'm preaching from. So if you don't have one of those, raise your hand. John, wherever he is, somebody will get those to you here in a second. And then you can just kind of soak it in and put this in your Bible. We're going to unpack this throughout the whole year. So I want you to have it and slide it in. And I'm just going to run through it and take a few minutes to do that. And then I want to end on a spiritual note that is not on that note that will be able to give you something to chew on and think about for this week. If you're a visitor with us today, you are an honored guest. Welcome. Thank you for coming. And you picked a good day to come. We're going to talk about what is coming in 2016. And the exciting things that God has called us to thus far at church in the Falls. Last week I introduced this concept. Whatever you see is what you can be. And I pointed out three things. The whatever is that there's no limit to God. Whatever he desires, he can and will do. And then we talked about how this idea of seeing it is what brings about the being. Seeing, it's a vision. Vision's really important. And we're going to talk about that specifically today. And then also this little caveat in that. Whatever we see, we can be. There's a can, which means if we're not willing to open our hearts, our minds, our pocketbooks, our hands, our spirits, and invest our time, then God will just go around us and find someone else. It's an opportunity to see and to be. I wanted to find some terms today. And forgive me, I'm going to cover a lot of material and it might be a little heavy, so just soak it in and just try to feel it and you can go back and look at it later. But I wanted to find some terms that we'll be using throughout the year and I want you to be ready for that. Three of those are vision, mission, and strategy. Vision, mission, and strategy. A lot of times people get those all whacked together and confused a little bit, and so I just want to clarify. Vision is literally what it sees. You can't have vision unless you have eyes. You have to see something. And that's the image I want you to have in your mind. Vision is what we see. If God calls us to a certain way to do something, then we can see a vision of what it will look like when we get there. It's a goal. It's hard to see. That's why we need leadership to cast that vision. Mission is really what we do to get to that vision. It's the process, if you will. And strategy is the tools we use and the processes we use to bring the mission to get to the vision. So let me say it this way. A vision would be like a portrait or picture, the canvas of our life, if you will. And then the mission would be the pixels that make up that vision. We have to have all the pixels in the right place to see that vision. And that's typically where we spend a lot of our time. And then the strategy would be the paintbrush that puts the pixels to create the vision. Kind of following a little bit, vision, mission, strategy. And we want to talk about what is God's mission, vision, and strategy for Church in the Falls during 2016 that will predict and help us get to the goals he has for us over the next 10, 15, and 20 years. But none of these matter unless we understand what God's vision, mission, and strategy is. God has an eternal perspective, as we know, and ours is much more limited. We got a 10 or 15 year strategy focus. But what God does on the grand scheme has to be correlated with what we do. And so I want to share that with you a little bit. The mission of God is very clear. Over and over again, he sets this image of, I will be their God and they will be my people. In one particular place, I really love it. He says, enter in good and faithful servant. Remember that phrase? It's like you can see a mental image of God opening the door to heaven and inviting you in. That's the vision God has. He was looking forward to that moment when he invites you in and you will finally be his people and he will be your God. And eternity will begin. That's God's vision. So whatever we do has to funnel into that. God's mission is also very clear. He came to what? Seek and to save the lost, right? And our mission is the very same, to seek and to save the lost. He gives us some very specific things in what he calls the co-mission. The great co-mission is when we join with the mission of God and we baptize and we teach. Go into all the world and baptize and teach. Very clear. So that's the vision and the mission of God very clearly in our world. And then the strategy of God is this word love. The great commandments, we would call them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God and when we love others, we position ourselves to be ready to be used for the mission, which will eventually bring about God's vision. And that's where God is operating at. And so everything we do is going to be a form of that or a subset of that on a smaller, more focused scale for Northeast Ohio. So far, am I clear? Vision, picture, mission, what gets us to that, and the strategies, the things we use to get the mission done to get to the vision. All right. So that's kind of an overview of terms as we go around it. Now, Andy Stanley is a great pastor and a great leader in the business world in some different areas. He does this all the time. So I wanted to share what they do at their church to kind of give an idea of what we're looking for and dreaming about for 2016. His vision is churches that lost people love to go to. So you could just see this vision of a city on a hill, a church where all the lost people are climbing to get to it because they love to be there. That's the vision he has for the churches that they create. The mission is very similar to what Jesus says, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. To lead them to a growing relationship with Jesus. And then their strategy is to create environments where, and very much like our embracing God, encouraging others, and engaging the world is some language we use at Church in the Falls. They have very similar language of connecting with God, connecting with the people inside the church, and then connecting with the world outside the church. Same kind of idea. To create environments where that can happen so that we can lead people to a relationship with Jesus, and then we can then be that church that lost people love to attend. Vision, mission, strategy. Real simple. So we're going to do something like that. And we want to be dreaming about that. We've taken many years to get to this place. And this is the year to bring that about. We feel like God is leading that. And we want to ask you to pray about it and dream about it. One little caveat as well. A vision, mission, and strategy must be simple. And it must be portable. Simple in that we need to understand the words. No sanctification, justification. No weird words. Just following and Jesus and life and death. Simple words that everybody can understand and needs to be portable. Memorizable. For example, embrace God, encouraging others, engaging the world. That part of our strategy is pretty simple to remember. And we're going to come up with words just like that. All right. Now that was a lot, but let me share with you some smaller vision just for 2016. I have some things I want to suggest for us as a church, as well as for you as an individual member of our church. If you're a visitor, you are off the hook. Thank you for coming. Soak it in and get excited about what we're doing and consider joining us. But if you're a member here, this is for you and it's a call to action. First, Church of the Falls this year, we are going to create a full version of our vision, our mission, and our strategy. We want words that matter. We've already got our leadership team together. We're going to be planning a time in February and some others in the future to begin building that and organizing that. And we're really seeking the Lord's face. And I ask you to pray for that so that we will have clarity about what God wants to do here and not what we want to do or what we think we need to react to. But what is God calling us to? So be praying about that. Another big event this year is we want to ask you to raise up new and additional shepherds. We have three wonderful godly men who lead our church and love our church. And they love God and they're wonderful men. But it's a lot of burden to shoulder with three men. So we're asking that we can raise up two or three more this year. We're going to begin praying and talking about that real soon. But get your heart set for that. We need to lift that up. It's really important to have many and strong leaders. Another thing that we're going to do this year is like we did last year when we went to see Woodlawn and War Room, we are going to support spiritually based movies. I really believe with my whole heart that if people compromise their values to be entertained, then we should compromise their values to see about Jesus. Hey, we're going to tell you about Jesus. I don't really want to hear about him, but I'm going to be entertained. And then suddenly they hear the gospel. I really believe it is an open market to evangelize the world. And so we want to support that as a church. And there'll be a couple times we'll do that. A couple movies. Risen is coming. The Lamb, which is going to be on October 12th at 8:35 p.m. out of Jerusalem. It's the Day of Atonement. And the story is about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a brilliant story. You'll really enjoy it. Another one is called Let Hope Rise. Remember the song that we sang this morning, Upon the Waters? That's from a group called Hillsong. It's the story of how they have come about, and that's going to be opening up this year as well. So many exciting things and others as well. Another fourth big idea that we're going to do this year is the 100,000 chapter challenge. Now, you guys should know about this already. This is our website. It is live and ready to go now. We want you to, as you're reading through the Bible, to put in the number of chapters you read each day, each week, each month. If you do not have access to the web or are too scared, I will show you, all right? And if you still can't do it, then you can just email me or Julie or one of our leadership and we'll input it in for you, maybe monthly. Say, hey, I read 60 chapters out of Job and Genesis and here's my name and here's my email and we'll enter it in for you. That way we can keep a running total of the total number of chapters we as a body of believers have read, trying to get to 100,000 for the end of the year. That's a goal and I know we can do it. In fact, I think we're going to surpass it. I'm very excited about that. And another huge event, a really huge event, for the first time in the history of Church in the Falls, we are going to officially launch, just like today, a full-time weekly second service. A cappella and instrumental every week, and we're going to use this as a tool to reach the world. It is a language, as we're experiencing today, it's a wonderful way to communicate via music, and the world listens to that. We want to invite people, and we want to have a safe place for them to come. We're going to begin that officially on March 27th, 2016, Easter Sunday. So this is time to start making flyers and inviting your friends, a full-scale instrumental and a cappella double service from now on. Starting Easter. Everybody take a breath on that one, right? That's a big deal. It's going to need a lot of work and a lot of energy, so be praying about it. We've been dreaming of this for years, and it is finally here. Now, I would like to share some vision for you as individuals, okay? And I want to challenge you in this. These are not easy things, but I hope you'll consider them and pray about them. One is, I want you to join and support what we do here at Church in the Falls. And there's several ways I want to annotate. One of them, pray and seek for new shepherds. If there's a godly man who is leading, and you know of this godly man, you need to speak to this godly man and say, hey, you're the kind of leader I want to follow. Would you consider, are you qualified, are you willing to serve as a shepherd? And we'll talk more about that. But begin praying towards that and communicating. This is a big deal. And we want to do it well. We want to do it godly. We want to let God raise up these people that we follow. As well as I want you to practice the power of three. Three different threes. Praying three times a day. Remember the morning prayer. And if you don't have cheat sheets on this, I'm going to print some more and you'll have them soon, okay? But I hope you'll remember these from Psalms 139. Look deep into my heart, Lord, and find everything I'm thinking. And if anything is offensive to you, lead me in the way everlasting. And then the middle prayer for the day is the Lord's Prayer that we sing, that we do every single Sunday morning. All right, that one we know that well. And then the last one that maybe some of you know or don't know is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, strength. But you love your neighbor as yourself. Three prayers, real simple. Now, I know many of you, I just am experiencing this from you. Is, well, yeah, okay, that's nice, but please do this. Set an alarm on your phone and pray three times a day. Morning, afternoon, evening. This can transform your life. It is ritually rooted in the church from the first century. And we are a restoration first century church. Let's do that. And let's encourage one another and be a family, knowing we are praying together. Another three is own it 365. We're going to read through the Bible, as I've mentioned. 15 to 20 minutes a day. Please do this. You get a day off every week. There's an app that makes it easy. I've got everything printed out. You can see them. They look like this on the back out there. So please take advantage of that. It's going to be a fantastic way to read through the Bible. And I'm going to preach, and our life group materials are going to connect around that throughout the year. And the third three is the three knots. When you hear the three knots, remember what they are? Not going to church, not going well, or not from around here. When you hear one of the three knots, the first thing I want you to do is go, you ought to come to church with me. Just invite people. You'll be amazed how many people are very open and willing to come. And just invite them and let them get to know God in a safe environment where we love them and where God loves them. Another thing I want to encourage you on is serve and celebrate. When we have two services like this, we really, 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 really need for everybody to come to both. And I know that's a challenge, and many of you are going, I don't know about that. Let me just lift it up as a high standard, but it's one that I really am asking and expecting as leaders, as members of a church. We have to support one another. One big concern of having two services is it feels like two churches. So we've put class in between. And when you come to one and celebrate and come to one and serve your fellow brothers and sisters, by definition, you are one body encouraging one another. And I want to really challenge you to do this. And I know many of you have taken that seriously and thank you for that. And I know it's a difficult thing. I got to be there all day. Yeah, we do. God's calling us to something great. And there are going to be so many people who are going to come to one of our services who don't know anybody. And we need people who've got time to build into those new folks and love on them and be committed to that, to get the things done. Like, we need extra worship team members and we need extra band members. We need so much to make this happen. So please consider serving and celebrating going forward. I challenge you to that. Another big event that I want to challenge you to is I want to challenge you to tithe your entire year in the month of January. You can go do your taxes. You'll know exactly what you made last year, what God blessed you with. And I want you to take that amount and say, okay, God, I am going to trust you to provide this again this year for me. And 10% of that is this amount. And divide that by 52 or by 12 months or whatever giving schedule you would like. And say, God, I'm going to commit to you this. And go into easytithe.com. Set up an account and make an automatic deposit so that you don't even have to think about your tithing. You're giving to the work of the Lord and you're promising it early in the year. You can always go change those settings, okay? But I want to challenge you because you'll be amazed when you commit your life to God like that. Before you're ever given, you say, God, you've always provided in the past and I know you're going to provide in the future. And so I give this to you. Let me challenge you to do that. And I want to point out, I don't know if many of you realize this, but our elders work for free. They are volunteers who serve the Lord. And they deal with the budget and the money. I don't touch it. I'm your minister, preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call me, but my role doesn't touch money ever. I don't get an increase when we give more. And I want you to know that straight out. I'm a fellow brother saying to you, Jesus talks more about money than anything else. It is a spiritual discipline and it will create something special in your life. And I want to challenge you to do that. Tithe your entire year in January. Lay it out before the Lord and just let it roll and watch what God will do. You'll end up with more, I guarantee you. God always does that. You can't outgive him. I also want to challenge you to commit to tithing your volunteer time for our five big rocks. Now, our spring journey big rock is Own It 365. We're going to read through the Bible. That's it. All right? That's a big one. We're not going to do a spring journey this year because of that. The other four, though, are VBS, our Falls Family Festival, our Harvest Homecoming Dinner, and our Christmas Eve service. Some of you can't be there for all of them, so you can do stuff before and after. All hands on deck, and we're going to sign up in January for all of our roles for the whole year. And we're going to have those printed out this week. I want to challenge you to do that. Begin thinking about these things now. Commit yourself to the Lord and say, I'm going to serve in this capacity on this day. And watch what God will do to bless you. And you know Satan's going to get in the way of it. So think and pray about it honestly. And lastly, I want you to commit to the values of Church in the Falls. If you're not a Christian, if you've not taken Jesus on in baptism and submitted to him, 2016 is your year. You got 12 months to pray about this, to think about this, to study with one of your leaders here. We would love to open the scriptures and give you the thoughts to chew on. Not coercively, just to say, here's what God has done. What do you think about that? This is your year, 2016. Become a Christian. Embrace God. If you're already a Christian, this is the year for you to join a life group. We're going to encourage others. Attend class and join a life group. I challenge you to start a life group. I've got materials right here. I'll make it real easy for you. All the way through July, directly correlated with what I'm preaching on, printed and ready to go for you today. If you'd like to start one, find another family. I'll work with you, talk with you about it. I want us to grow in our life groups. It's really important. It's the way we encourage one another, is our life group and that class time in the middle where we come together. Really important part of growing in the Lord. And third, if you're already there, I want to challenge you to join a ministry. Awana always needs help. We need a whole second band and second worship team. We need replacements for people when they're sick. We need people to make coffee. We need people to clean and do things. We need welcome and guests. We need people to put together spreadsheets and organize information. On and on it goes. There's so much to be done. And God has something for you. We got rid of the pews. There are no pew packers anymore. Okay? We're here to serve. And I want to challenge you to find a ministry and get involved this year. One. That's all. Just one ministry that you touch and that you can be proud of and involved with. All right. Everybody go, that was a lot, wasn't it? That's why I put the notes here for you. I want you to take this home, put it in your Bible. We're going to unpack this through the year. Okay? Now I want to share something spiritual to kind of set a tone for the year. When I set up this idea of Own It 365, I told you that I didn't want you to worry about reading deep. I want you to read broad. I want you to read Genesis to Revelation. I want you to connect the storylines. I want you to just fly over the history of the world with God's hand. And try to soak that in. And that's a big job. That's why it's going to take us 365 days, okay? We've made it as easy as possible. You get a day off every week. There's apps that remind you. It's 15 to 20 minutes a day. Very minor commitment, okay? But what my goal is in this is I want you to have a flyover experience where as you see God in His story of history, you'll begin to connect the dots and get a bigger picture about what God is doing in our world and what He's doing in your life and your family, what He's doing in our church, and what He wants to do in the future. See His vision, get a glimpse, a better understanding of what God is thinking, what God is feeling in any particular moment. I think sometimes we just see God as over there and we're over here and we're just trying to honor Him and we're going to throw some sacrifice His way and we don't exactly know there's a gap there. And I don't think God ever intended that. He wants this to be a communal family where He is our Father and He's among us and He's got a heart that loves people and He wants us to resonate with that heart. Reading the whole Bible is a great, one of the best ways I know to do that. If you've ever read through it, you know what I'm talking about. I have these pair of glasses that are, I think they're as seen on TV, HD glasses. You seen these things? When you put them on, they're kind of like an amber color. And what's really fascinating is when you're driving down the road, you'll notice that the greens, and the oranges, and the yellows, and the reds, they pop differently. Certain things kind of get pushed to the background, and other things come out really loud, vibrant. I think that when we read through the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation, it's kind of like putting on those glasses, but the filter is to see God's vision clearly. And suddenly things in our world begin to crystallize and rise above. Our priorities begin to shift. We begin to see, oh, that's what God is pointing out. God sees that, not as concerned about it, but God's really interested in that. And God's really interested in this. I've never seen that before. It'll begin to open your mind and your heart to all the different complex shades of God. And I want to set up a spiritual thought around that. I want to illustrate it. But I want to start. Let's watch this short little film here.
All right. Who's dancing? Come on. Who's dancing? You want me to get it started? Okay. Get it started.
That was a party.
Have you ever seen Elaine dance?
Elaine dance?
It's more like a full body dry heave set to music.
Did she do the little kicks and the thumbs?
Why did I let George go to that party? I mean, we were having so much fun. I mean, we were whining, we were dining, we were dancing. What?
Yes, you know that.
It's dancing.
No, that ain't dancing, Sally.
I dance fine.
You stink.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Jerry? I'm a good dancer, right?
I forgot to make my bed.
It's a great episode if you get to see the whole thing. You know, I think sometimes that in life we dance to some strange beat that nobody else sees. I even wonder if the angels are going, what is that? We get caught up in culture. We get caught up in likes and dislikes and hobbies and habits and things that we love and things that we value and cherish and it cycles and we dance to some strange beat that God never intended. I want to ask you as we read in 2016, let us learn to dance to the beat of God's heart. Let us learn to dance to the beat of God's heart. And when you read the whole counsel of God, you're going to begin to cycle through things. And you'll begin to notice things about God. And they'll disturb you and they'll bless you and it'll be complex. And as you're watching this, you're going to begin to think differently about the world around you. And it's like putting those HD glasses on. You're going to see things and you're going to know when to stand and sit and talk and move and dance. And suddenly you'll just start to resonate with God. And you'll begin to dance to the beat of God's heart. And it will transform everything in your life. All for the better. Well, let me illustrate it this way. Reading through the whole counsel of God gives us perspective. For example, death. Now, this is one tiny little thing. There's many, many things you're going to pick up on when you read through the scriptures. But death is a good one. So I'm going to start with that one. It's just an idea to give you perspective on what you might learn. Death. What does God think about death? You know, we read in Genesis 1 through 3, God created Adam and Eve and gave them a tree of life. They were going to live forever. Clearly, that was God's plan at some level. And because of sin, now they have to die. And then later we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that, well, God sees death as an enemy that he had to take out through the blood of Jesus. I mean, we celebrate that fact, but it's still an enemy. Clearly, that's not what God was thinking. That's two perspectives right there on two different parts of the Bible. And then we go a little bit farther and we read in Psalms 116:15 where God says, precious is the death of my faithful servants. Well, that's a little different. Faithful servants. Now I'm having that image of enter into the kingdom, my good and faithful servant. It's right at the vision of God. God is standing there with his vision and it involves death. And he sees it as precious. That's a little different perspective. And then you go to Revelation and you read this at the other end of the book where all these martyrs who have been killed, death, they go into heaven and they're hanging out under the altar. And my first image was that they're being protected. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's an altar. That's where we make sacrifice. And then they say, God, avenge our blood. And what does God say? He says, not yet. There are still more who have to die. In other words, the Alpha, the Omega, the God of the universe, the one who controls all time and space says, I need to let more people die before I'm going to stop it. And we go, what is that about? How does God see death? There's so many images. And then he allows David's baby to die for David's sin. Ooh, that one rubs me a little bit the wrong way. What is God thinking with that? And then God says to his people, I want you to wipe them out. Man, woman, child, animal, burn it to the ground. Complete annihilation is a special word for it in the Old Testament. And we go, what is that about? And then God comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, which he does the same thing. And yet there's a whole discourse there. Well, what if you just found 20 people? Well, I'll save them for... What if you just found 15 people? I'll save it for 15. What if we could just find 10 people? And God says, I'll save it for 10 people. And then we suddenly see the back door, what God is thinking. He doesn't want to just wipe this out, but he is struggling and weeping over these people, but there's no other option. And the God of the universe has to step in and do something that from outside looks really raw. And on the stories go. And we begin to see God doesn't look at death the same way we do. Had a really, really fascinating experience a few years back. I was a young chaplain in a hospital setting. I've told you guys some of this before. Le Bonheur is a level one trauma center for children. 3-state area would bring all the damaged children to this facility as an ER. St. Jude for cancer is down the road. Hub, right? Kind of like this area, except for children specifically. I was the chaplain on call, 2:00 in the morning. The pager goes off. There's the hurry, the hustle and bustle. I drive over, come into Le Bonheur. The security guards are like, oh, great chaplain. They shoved me in the room, as they had done many times, to a family who's angry. They're breaking things. They're frustrated. There's a lot of tension in a very big room of angry people. And suddenly I realized what had happened was there was a drive-by shooting, as gangs do in Memphis. And when you do that, you honk, you make some noise, people come to the door, you do your thing. Well, guess who came to the door? A 2-year-old. I've got a 2-year-old at home. I'm thinking, what is going on, God? Why would you allow this to happen? And the people were saying the same thing. God, why is this happening? And there was struggle. And then in comes the doctor. He didn't make it. Oh, now the anger is fired up. There's real raw anger, and what is going on, and how in this, and just as if in a moment of clarity, God whispers in my ear and says, I rescued that boy. I thought, what do you mean? And I look around and I realize everybody in the room, there are gangbangers. They've got their socks up. They are literally a family of gang. That little boy was going to grow up in that. And maybe by some extreme measure, just maybe God has a better understanding of what's going on than I did. And I did not like that. But I sort of began to think differently. God's not concerned about death. He lives on this side of death. In him we live and move and have our being, and he lives on this side of death into a good and faithful servant, and he considers it precious. God's not concerned. Death is no big deal to God. It's a big deal to me, but not to God. And so now I'm beginning to think, well, maybe I should ask different questions. You see the evolution of my thought, right? This is what happens when you read the whole Bible. You begin to see all the stories connected, and your perspective about God radically changes and alters little bit by little bit. Death is no big deal. And then you get to John 11. Jesus goes to his friend Lazarus, who has died 4 days in the grave. This is another life and death story. It's a great story of the power of Jesus over life and death. He comes in. He is on his way out to raise that man from the dead and solve all the problems. And the Bible says he wept. Do you remember why he wept? The Bible says he saw the grief. Mary and Martha and all the people that he loved, they were weeping and they were grieving the loss of their friend. And Jesus sees that and is moved, even though he's going to correct the problem. He is moved to tears by their hurt. I want you to see this. Don't miss this, okay? To God, death is no big deal. But to God, you are a huge deal. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. That's not a big deal. But when he saw his friends hurt, he wept. God sees your hurt and he weeps with you. But death is still no big deal. It's a whole different perspective on how God views death. And it's one tip of an iceberg of what you'll learn as you read through the Bible. God weeps over us. He sings over us. He dances over us. There's a genuine joy when we're happy and a genuine sadness when we're sad. And yet, he could take our life. Not a big deal to him. And it's a different way of looking at life. Putting on some HD glasses. So here's what happens. When we learn to dance to the beat of God's heart, what happens is we begin to hate the things God hates. We begin to love the things God loves. We begin to celebrate the things God celebrates. We begin to get on board. Our heart begins to resonate with his heart. And we begin to dance to the beat of his heart. And suddenly our entire world begins to shift because we know exactly what God would do in that specific scenario. Before you read, as we read through the Bible this year, I want you to say a short little prayer. Something like this. God, I want to learn to dance to the beat of your heart. Help me learn something today to see you and to know you, to understand what you're thinking and what you're feeling so that I may become more like you. Help me connect with you, God. Show me the big picture, not just the microcosm, the big picture. I want to know what you think. I have a dear cousin of mine named Greg Black. I love Greg. I'm telling you, we're in a crowded room and somebody walks in that we should not be laughing at. I'm just going to confess here. And Greg will start to laugh. And I don't even have to know what Greg's laughing about because I know Greg. I look at Greg and I'm like, oh no, he's laughing. He's like, and I'm like, stop it, Greg, stop it. And it's just like, I know immediately what he's thinking and immediately what he's doing. I want us to live that way with God. We walk into a scenario and someone's weeping. Guess what? I know what God's doing. He is weeping. He is on the knees with that mother, with that father, with that husband, that wife, that broken situation. He is on his knees, just overwhelmed by it. And I want to be right there with him. And then when ISIS comes to town, I'm ready to go. I'd rather be on the other side anyways. Let's be honest. You see the difference in perspective. Can you imagine the power if we live that way? Can you imagine the power if we live knowing that death was no big deal to God, but that the grief and the joy of the people around us was a huge deal? And we live in complete opposites of the way most people live. It would transform your life. It would transform the world around you. And it is a call that is extremely challenging and extremely wonderful. Let's learn to dance to the beat of God's heart in 2016. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we praise you today. You have honored us so much with Jesus. You've died for us. You weep with us. You celebrate with us. Father, I ask only that this year as a church, individually and corporately, that you would help us, train us, Lord, to dance to the beat of your heart. To know what you know, to feel what you feel, to love and to hate what you love and what you hate. May we become more like you, Lord, in your glory. We praise you. And we praise you in the name of Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the whole church say, amen.
Stand up with me.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. Our next Arise is February the 7th. Then the next one after that, March the 6th. And then like you heard in David's sermon, our plan is for March 27th, Easter Sunday, to be the beginning of every week. Be praying about that for us. Volunteer if you know somebody that can sing or play an instrument. We're always looking for people to help us out in that way. Invite your friends. Help us get the word out. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors are here on each side of the stage here. We always are willing and able to pray for you. If there's a need in your life, let us know about that. We're brothers and sisters here. We're a family, and we love on each other like we're a family. And so we want to pray for you if there's a need in your life. Maybe you're ready to start a new life, new year, new life. And you need to know how to do that or how to take the next step. You hear us talk about baptism a lot. Maybe you need to know more about what that's about. You know, it says in Romans 6, just read a couple verses, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives." Such an honor and privilege to join Christ in his death and to raise up out of the water in new life. And that's a gift that he gives us. Or maybe you have questions about our church. Prayer warriors can handle that as well. Pray with me real quick. Father in heaven, we pray so much that this worship service was honoring to you. That's all we want to do, Lord. We want to worship you with our whole lives. Let us leave this place worshiping you in every deed that we do, in every interaction we make with others, Father. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make me new. You are making me new.
In peace.
Here